Our first reading comes from 1 Samuel chapter 16, and it is the call of David. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you grieve over Saul? I have rejected him from being king over Israel. Fill your horn with oil and set out. I will send you to Jesse, the Bethlehemite, for I have provided for myself a king among his sons." Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hears of it, he will kill me." And the Lord said, "Take a heifer with you and say, 'I have come to sacrifice to the Lord.' Invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do, and you shall anoint for me the one whom I name to you." Samuel did what the Lord commanded and came to Bethlehem. The elders of the city came to meet him trembling and said, "Do you come peaceably?" Samuel said, "Peaceably. I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice." And he sanctified Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they came, Samuel looked on Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed is now before the Lord." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord does not see as mortals see. They look on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. He said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." Then Jesse made Shammah pass by, and he said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel, and Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord has not chosen any of these." Samuel said to Jesse, "Are all your sons here?" And Jesse said, "There remains yet the youngest, but he's keeping the sheep." And Samuel said to Jesse, "Send and bring him, for we will not sit down until he comes here." Jesse sent and brought him in. Now David was ruddy and had beautiful eyes and was handsome. The Lord said, "Rise and anoint him, for this is the one." Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David from that day forward. Samuel then set out and went to Ramah. Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God. Now our gospel reading is one sentence, so I'm not going to have you stand. Seems a little up and down. So our gospel reading comes from the Gospel of John, the 7th chapter. "Do not judge by appearances, but judge with right judgment." The Gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Okay, so do not judge by appearances, but judge by right judgment. This verse from John highlights what I think is the funniest part of the reading from 1 Samuel today, because the whole story is emphasizing again and again that God does not judge by outward appearances, but by a person's heart, a person's character. That it's what's on the inside that counts. That's repeated, that's emphasized. But then at the end, when God chooses David, the author just cannot help themselves. They have to throw in a couple lines of how gosh darn handsome David is. Which I just think beautifully and hilariously captures how hung up we humans are on outward appearances. Even when writing a story about how we shouldn't do that, about how that's not how God judges and that's not what's important, that's not how God sees, the author still slips right back into the old ways, those human ways of judging a book by its cover. Okay, so let's back up a minute and get some context for today's story. If you remember last week, we heard the call of Samuel, right? The boy Samuel, who was being called by God and didn't quite know what was happening, and Eli had to help him figure out what was going on. So now, in today's story, that young boy is all grown up. Samuel is a prophet of God, and he's already anointed one king, King Saul. And Samuel didn't really think having a king was such a good idea, and to be honest, God didn't think having a king was such a good idea, but the people had asked again and again and basically were demanding a king, and so God finally said, fine, here you go, you can have a king. But it didn't go very well. Saul turned out to be not such a good king, not faithful to God. And so now, God is ready to give Saul the boot. Saul is still king in this story. That's why Samuel is a little nervous about going and finding a new king, because Saul is still king. He's still in charge. But God is ready to find a replacement. And God is using the prophet Saul to choose that replacement. So God sends Samuel. I keep saying Saul, sorry. Samuel, the prophet Samuel. So God sends Samuel to Bethlehem to meet Jesse and all his sons. And God tells Samuel, go meet the sons and I'll tell you which one is meant to be king. Listen to me and I will show you who the next king is. But when Samuel gets there, just like the author, he falls back into his old ways. Saul was tall and handsome, like he expected a king to be. And so when Samuel meets the first son, he says, yep, that's the one. He looks like a king. He's so tall. He's so handsome. Clearly, he's meant to be the next king. Even though God had said, I will show you, instead of listening for God's guidance, Samuel was judging by his own perceptions, his own preconceived ideas of what it meant to be kingly. So we go through this again and again. Samuel keeps getting it wrong. God keeps telling him no. And after Samuel has met seven of Jesse's sons, and God has said no to them all, Samuel says, you got any other sons hiding around here? And Jesse says, well, just the baby of the family who's out watching the sheep, so that we can all be here talking. So they bring in little pipsqueak David, who's the eighth son, so he has no social status, no prospects for inheritance. He basically has no clout, no social standing whatsoever. And God says, that's the one. The one that no one even thought to invite today, the one that nobody thought counted, the one that nobody thought was important or that fit the bill, that's the one. That's who I choose. That's who I call. Now, as you probably know, David goes on to be a hugely prominent figure in Scripture and in Israel's history. In fact, in the Bible, no one else is written about more than King David except for Jesus. So David is a big deal. He turns out to be extremely important. And also, David makes a lot of mistakes and a lot of really bad choices. As king, David turns out to be extremely important, very talented, but also extremely flawed and extremely human. And I love that about this story, because that's what God does. God calls people who are completely unexpected, people who don't fit the mold, people who are flawed and imperfect. That is who God calls to do the important work of God. I personally need to hear this good news pretty regularly because while I have always felt God's call on my life since I was a kid, I've also always felt that I didn't fit the mold, especially as a pastor. I very clearly remember sitting in seminary and learning about how to be a pastor and thinking, this isn't me. And even after I was ordained, I still knew that I didn't fit, from how I looked, how I dressed, to how I did things, especially how I prioritized my call to motherhood. It wasn't what I was told a pastor should be or how a pastor should do things. It wasn't what I'd grown up seeing or hearing a pastor be. And yet, over the years, I've come to realize that all the things that make me not fit, those are the things that God most uses in my ministry. Those are the things that make my voice the most important. I came to realize that God called me not to become someone else, but to be my own unique self. That's who God called. That's who God uses. Just like God calls each of you as your own unique selves. The church, the hands and feet of God in the world, needs you. Just specifically and uniquely the way you are, and especially in all the ways that you don't fit the mold. We need the voice and the serving hands of your uniqueness, your age, your gender identity, your sexuality, your stage of life. We need your experience of being single, or your experience of being divorced, your experience of being married. We need your unique strengths, your unique talents, and also your struggles. We need your experience and your perspective and your very special particularity, I can't say that word. I need your uniqueness, let's stick with that, of who God made you to be. Because who you are can speak God's love and grace in a way that no one else can. Like David, we may not be what others are expecting. We may not fit the mold. And like David, we all have our own unique set of gifts and flaws. Like David, we are each called by God to use what we have, whatever we uniquely have. And despite our mistakes, despite our bad choices, despite our extreme humanness, God calls and uses us to do important things. God calls and uses us to be the church, to build up the kingdom and share God's love. God uses us to do God's work in the world. Thanks be to God. Amen.